Hi.
Good morning.
Hello, hello.
Calendar says Mallory's out today. Is Jakob in? Did he ever get his power back?
I don't know. But hey, David, we can talk about the thing.
Yeah, the use settings deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Jakob.
Hey, cards. Hey, guys. How are you?
Not
Hey,
too
Happy New
bad.
Year.
Are you?
Happy New Year.
You get your power fixed?
No, well, I have the power is, so I don't think they fixed it though. It looks totally temporary when you get out. It's like shitload of cables running along the roads and stuff. Yeah, I don't think they
Oh
fixed it.
wow. We once had a major line go out near our house and it took our house out, and the power company had to come and basically lay like this really fat cable across the backyard, just like, don't touch that. Totally got the actual thing fixed.
This is a load-bearing cable.
Yeah.
Definitely looks like a very fragile solution. So, I don't know. It works. That's got that going for it. Okay, so I think we probably should wait for Mallory.
I think Mallory's out today. At least the calendar
Oh, is
says she
she?
is.
Yeah, she's out.
Okay.
All right, then. I guess waiting for it does not make much sense. We might be here a while. All right, so let's maybe just do a quick touch base. We haven't had a chance to talk. He's on bug, I don't think. What's this board? You guys see my screen? If I go to my phone, I can.
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. All right, we should look at some of the tickets she put in the unassigned column. But first, let's talk about the ongoing tasks. Where's here? David, Ian, Kurtz, Jason. Okay. So we don't have Adam nor Giannis, but I'm sort of aware what their status is. So Adam's working on the ANSIP clients, the connector. That's for the supplier side. He's completed the requester side just before Christmas. And I saw that he just made a pull request. So that should be completed soon, soonish. David, reservoir ensure upgrade data, and just I don't know if we need to talk about it. I don't even understand why is this still open. I guess there's some stuff left to be done. Okay, let's ignore it. Ian, do you have anything?
No, I don't think I've got anything to discuss right now. That one, I think I'll just kick it to the next sprint. I think we're still waiting for some information from Mallory on that.
Okay. All right. We need to talk a little bit about this new dev environment, but let's just leave it until we get through the whole list. Giannis, he's working on this Postman script with the Happy Path. Like using the patron request API end to end. And last I heard from him, he discovered some issues on the dev environment. So he's working on fixing that. You might actually, I don't know if you tried the API, Jason.
I
You
did.
might
There's
pick some.
no a copy. A copy doesn't forward that at all. It's not in the module descriptor, and so I have to even use that API, I actually have to go th through basic auth. So it's a little inconvenient
Yeah.
to wire up the stripes.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You need to go through the basic auth. But we can put in the module descriptor. I don't think that's a lot of work. So you just take a note of that and I'll create a ticket for this actually right away. Because it
Nice.
needs to be done. It needs to be done here. Okay, I'll take a look at it.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, so he's working on that. I don't know if do you have Postman JSON?
I don't use it and I don't like it.
Yeah, but I think you should install it because it's gonna be, well, unless you already have figured out how to use the API, then of course, then it's not needed. But he put together a pretty good, end-to-end test, where it creates the request, executes some actions, full happy path. So it's actually a pretty good illustration of how to interface with the API.
Yeah, that sounds useful.
Yeah, it is useful. And that actually uncovered some issues on the dev environment. That's why I'm mentioning this because we are running a multi-instance replica. So there's some issues with statefulness. So he's fixing that. I think it's gonna be fixed later today or maybe tomorrow. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. And then, yeah, let's move on. So, Jason, do you have any updates?
There's something that I want to talk to David about or mention because there's a situation with the SLNP1 dev environment where
Okay.
it's on a it, the UI is set up with a pre-SLNP version of Stripe's reshare. And so various translations and things are missing and whatnot. And the thing that he noted on the channel there is an artifact of that because Kurt wound up using something from Stripe's reshare 2 that wasn't available in that version that's being used there. But what's not clear to me is what version of Stripe's reshare is intended to be used. Because there are SLNP versions that are newer than what includes the use setting hook that Kurt was hoping to use. And but the newest one would be pulled in by default, I think, from what's in the package JSON. It just depends if he
or ZFL are using a yarn lock file to pin earlier versions of things.
Is there any reason we shouldn't just make sure we're using the newer version?
I don't think so. We don't change that a lot. It's not terribly eventful stuff. Trove is using the current one. I think it's probably fine.
Okay.
But we would want to look at that. And the thing is that since ZFL is running it themselves, do we know what version they might be using? Like when they rebuild their bundle, is it going to pull in the new one that they'll need for this? Or I guess just to be aware of the fact that we'll need to have an eye out for this issue as it might come up, and they'll need to be instructed to.
I mean, it's been a while, but if I recall, they use the version that we tell them to in that platform. So they'll use whatever we're setting in the yarn lock, or in the not in the yarn lock because they'll have a different one, but in the install
Got
file.
it. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just a matter of how they like what they're doing to build stuff in case they have artifacts left over and they have a lock file and they're using it. And, but cool. Then that hopefully won't be a problem. Yeah, that's what's up with that
Okay.
right now.
So what's
And
the do you, what's the particular version that we should switch it to, and I guess who's going to do that? I guess make sure we get stuff.
I think it is already set in the package JSON of
Got it. It's just
that
the old
branch.
yarn lock.
Oh, that might be what's happening, yeah. So there's an old, but that platform branch has an old yarn lock, is what you're thinking?
Well, if you're looking at the platform and it's correct in the package JSON, then that would be where I would look, I guess.
Right, well, it's not the platform's package JSON. I think it's pulled in through UIRS package JSON. And pretty
Okay.
sure that is correct. And but I think it's only specifying like a caret dependency, so it'll get the newest.
Okay.
But there is
So
a
yeah.
entry in the platform package JSON for Stripes Reshare.
Awesome.
Sorry. Oh, what version does it say? 204. Yeah, that should be. That's
Uh,
interesting. Okay.
there's a
I need to look at how
resolution.
this happens. But so something older than two is on is SLNP one. So there's some kind of a weirdness there regardless.
Someone needs to
But the
run yarn Y or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who's going to do that? Do you want me to do it? David, do you want to pick it up?
Yeah, I could pick it up.
Okay.
So you want me to switch SLNP 1 and 2 to this version of Stripes Reshare 2, the zero default?
No, I think it probably needs a newer release than that if we want to use Kurt's code as is. So probably let's. Yeah, it's the use setting hook that I added in like June or July. So probably whatever Trove is using, or maybe just the most recent release would be the easiest way
Okay,
to.
so the most recent release. Okay.
And is there a release for this, or is that like a master version? Or, I mean, what do we want David to do exactly? I believe that we do create artifacts for this, so since it does seem that we pin this in the platform, you should just put the update the platform that we're using for that with the most recently
Looks like
released artifact.
latest release is 2.1.0 from July 31, so that I would imagine that's the one that Trove is using if that's got a change that you put in at that point. So
Yeah, that matches my timeline, yeah.
okay.
Okay. Okay, so what needs to happen here?
So the package or the package JSON resolution in that 18 branch, that SLMP branch, needs to switch from 2.04 to 2.1.0, and then rebuild without the yarn and make sure it works.
Okay. Which ticket is this related to, Jason? The paging, the
It's
paging.
yeah, but like very distantly related to that.
I'll just leave a note here for David.
But it also relates to the issue with the visible was it the chat window or whatever is what we were using the hook for.
It more specifically is actually interfering with Kurt's work. It's just something that I noticed in the course of the other thing. Because even if Kurt hadn't done what he was working on, that SLMP 1 is somehow getting a way too old, like it's getting 1 dot something, which doesn't include a lot of the SLMP work. So it has missing translations and other issues. So there was some kind of misconfiguration with SLMP 1. It might be good to make sure it's using the same branch they're using and everything else is kind of in line there because something's kind of weird.
Which module was that?
It's a Stripes reshare that had the
That's where the
particular issue.
translations are.
That's where some of the translations are for states and actions.
Okay. All right. Well, but for now, we want David to update this and get it deployed, right?
Yes, but just in general, though, that there may be some other weirdness with SLMP1, and I think it might be good to just ensure that it's pulling in the stuff we think it is, because that might not be the only issue.
Okay, well, why don't you get on with David then? Either describe what the problem is and what you want him to do, or why don't you guys get on a call and get it fixed? Just remember that everything needs to be captured here, right? So we can deliver that to the customer. Like, there should be no ad hoc changes on the environment. It needs to be done through dependencies or log files or whatnot.
So it's just a matter of updating that dependency and then just sanity checking the whole deployment because it seems like there's something gone awry.
Okay, so David, that's on you, okay? So please take a look at and then touch base with Jason just to have him verify after the update.
Yeah, okay.
All right, thank you. Anything else, Jason?
Also looked at something I mentioned on Tuesday where I've been meaning to check because of it seems like the MinIO project had some drama around licensing and stuff, and they pulled their Docker images from some places and who knows what. And so I remember I was a little concerned that Mod DMS might not even be able to run its tests anymore. Because it uses MinIO's client in for connecting to S3 from Go. And we use a MinIO Docker container to run the integration tests. And I finally looped around to confirming that actually that's all fine. Like it's still, at least the integration test still works.
Okay, that's good.
So I
That's
think
good to know.
that's it's doing what we need it to do right now. So, and it seems like it's the integration test container is built by test containers. So their shenanigans with their kind of official containers or whatever isn't going to affect that, hopefully.
Cool.
So that was good to know. I don't
All
know
right.
if we want to.
Yeah, like there's some other ZFL stuff there, but I left a lot of detailed comments for Tara that we don't have to get into it here if we don't want to.
Well, I guess the only question is if everything is. If Tara, do you have anything that you want to talk about here, or it's all good?
I do have just one tiny thing on ILL Dev 126. It looks like this is waiting on David, but it's still assigned to Jason. So I was just wondering if that needed to be dealt with. And I think I went through and I replied to everything that's outstanding for me, except for checking the Ramsons upgrades. And then there were a couple that I couldn't deal with because of the errors in the SLMP environments.
Okay. Which ticket was the one that you wanted to discuss? I'm sorry.
ILL Dev 126. And I just think
126. Oh yeah,
it's
I'm
just
seeing that.
waiting
Yeah.
on, that's what it looks like at least.
Okay, and so that's the one we also hope is gonna get fixed or applied when David updates the environment, Jason. Is that what's blocking this for Tara to review?
I don't know. I haven't thought of this since last year. As far as I know, I did this in like October or something on the 119 branch. So it depends if we have everything deployed that I changed.
Okay. Well, Tara, I think let's do another round when David is done updating that environment.
Okay.
And yeah, please reopen this ticket if it's still broken. So we'll have Jason look at it.
So I think that one involves both UIRS and UI directory changes. So maybe just search on GitHub in that an open library environment there for ILL Dev 126 and make sure that whatever version of those things we're using pulls in those commits. Actually, I'll just
Well, why
link
don't you?
that search to the
Yeah.
ticket.
Yeah, I mean, where are the commits and stuff? Like, who is supposed
Well,
to
I
do it?
don't
And
know.
we need to know the version. Come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. What is
Well,
the
I don't know
version
why the
when this was
commits.
fixed?
I tag it in the commits. I don't know why GitHub doesn't
Well, then
do
just
that.
paste the links or something. I mean, we need to know like what David needs to include in this package, right? Okay. So why don't you spend a couple of minutes just to figuring this out because we kind of want to get this done. This has been open forever
Totally.
now.
I think we just each assumed that the other guy needed to do something, so that was. Is it possible, reasonable to try to find a way to wire up our Jira instance here so that it can notice commits that are tagged?
And that Open Library Foundation, GitHub,
Yeah.
I'm sure it's possible. Maybe
Nothing
just drop a
useful.
question on the DevOps Slack channel. Maybe somebody can just get it done, and if not, we'll create a ticket and ask Wayne to, have somebody do it. But maybe just ask because maybe Peter can just do it. All right. Anything else that the file related? So we've got some stuff that needs to be reviewed, but from what I'm hearing, we need to figure out if this was fixed, where it was fixed, ensure that it's deployed. So like the usual problems we have, right? So still something is not working with us fixing and getting it deployed. So maybe you guys think a little bit about, especially David and Jason, like what can we do to improve this process? Because this is almost every time anything gets fixed, we don't know if we are running this fix. It seems like an easy thing to address. So I don't know, maybe let's get better at tagging those tickets, like whatever process you think is better, but we just need to know. David needs to be able to verify, hey, this was deployed and it should be working, right? And if Tara cannot review it, then she just reopens the ticket and it means that it's not fixed. So maybe we should actually reopen
Yeah.
this.
What
We
status
should
does it go in
coordinate
if it's
that.
reopened?
Progress.
In progress? Okay. Because some of these, like, they're in review, but it's like, hide patron request button. If you click on that one, you can see I was looking at that one this morning. Like it's in review, but then I have a question about like, well, is like, would the potential fix be fixing it with settings or like, you see what I mean? So I'm not sure if that really is in review or if it's in progress, you know?
Which ticket did you mean? I'm sorry.
On yours, it's ILL Dev 207 on the screen right there.
207. Yeah.
Right? So is that really in review the way that you define it, or is it in progress if you look at the comments?
I guess we could use in code review or something for this. So the what I was doing with Trove was I would just mark it as in review once I had the work completed on the tip of the relevant branch. But that's because
No,
it could
because
deploy to,
in
it could
Trove, you
deploy a
just deploy.
CI. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly. It
exactly.
deployed in CI from the tip of the branch.
Right. So
So
the
we need a
solution here
better.
isn't finding another state in Jira that will keep us blocked. We don't
It's
want
giving
that
me a way to
solution.
deploy it. It's giving me a way to
Yeah,
deploy it.
exactly.
Yeah.
I
And
mean,
I now have that for SLNP
yeah.
one and two.
So what's missing still? I think we didn't you guys added actions to get to allow developers to get it deployed?
Yes, I was able to deploy SLNP one, and that's where I noticed the misaligned Stripe's reserve version.
Okay.
So
Well,
it may be
then
that
just
there
put it.
are other problems with that. But yeah, I
Yeah.
can this work should be on SLNP1, provided that deployment is also set up to pull unreleased changes from whatever branch of UI directory that stuff is in. I don't know how UI directory works.
Jason, but we put that information in here. I mean, this call is doesn't happen in, frequent enough for us to discuss issues like that, right? So rather than putting in any review, because that's a signal to Tara to start reviewing this. If you see that it didn't get deployed, let's not put it in review. Well, I'll put it back in
So
progress.
at that time, I had no idea how deployment for this stuff works. I put it to be in review because like I did what I needed to do. And so I don't at the time I was what we really were missing was a state for me to hand it off to David to deploy it. But now that I have CI able to deploy it, then I can deploy it. So we can use the same process. So that I think hopefully will handle that.
Yeah, I think we can either just put a comment here for David, right? When you discover that it's missing updated dependencies, or we can create a ticket and just block this one on that ticket, right? I think either one will work, but let's just make sure that David knows that something needs to be done.
But
Because
in this
it's
case, sorry, I'm sure that like, that is ultimately a question, but in this case, there are still outstanding questions about like what exactly the work entails. The way that I read this, and sorry if I misunderstood, but Jason, you're saying that the first element, the button, can be controlled with a permission, but I'm not clear on how exactly that is handled for reshare, because in the past we've changed what those like hard set permission sets are, whereas in Folio I would just go in and do it myself and tell them to do the same, right? And so I've been told that it's better to change the permission set so that it's not a problem for anybody. So that's the first problem on there. And then the second is that there's a question about how best to hide that settings or if it's even possible. So like I don't know that this is like, so what is actually deployed? I don't actually understand. What is
Nothing is
what has
deployed on that
failed
one.
to deploy? What has been failed to be deployed? That's what I'm trying to ask.
Well, that one involved no software changes. That
Okay.
the entirety of my work on that one is that comment.
Okay, great. So the fact that we're still like kind of talking about this one, does that mean it's in review or is it in progress? Like,
Well,
because
I
I.
put that one in review because I wanted you to review my comment.
Okay,
Because
all
if
right. So what was supposed to
like
happen was I was supposed to put it back in progress because I had further questions. Is
Yeah, or
that
just
right?
ask
Okay.
me the or just ask me the question, sort of review it with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And in case
but you
anyone
also
missed this, I
shouldn't
did
put it
all of
in.
this morning, so it's not like anyone missed
Yeah.
anything.
No, it's fine, but just to clarify, right? I mean, Dave, Jason, you don't put it in the review when you ask a question. I mean, you put it in the review to signal to somebody else to start reviewing.
Right, that comment contained what I considered to be a solution, so I put it in an interview because I
Oh,
wanted
gotcha.
a
Okay.
review of my
Okay.
solution.
I thought that you had more questions about this.
No.
It might be that my questions are actually not for Jason as well. Like, just the last time this happened, Ian was the one who fixed it, so. Well, it's in progress now.
All
So the
right, so
problem is,
guys,
though, if it's
just so
assigned to
I'm.
me and it's in progress, it seems like I need to do something. But what I just need some sort of state to be like, I don't intend to do anything more with this until someone tells me otherwise, kind of thing.
Well, that's fine. So let's decide now what needs to be done so that Tara can check that it's working. I mean, you devise some solution here that includes removing a permission. Who needs to do that? Who needs to get rid of that permission?
I don't know. I didn't see that as my
That's
wheelhouse.
fine.
It
That's
doesn't need
fine.
code
That's
changes,
fine.
so
That's fine. But
I don't know what I should
it
do.
doesn't, like, we want to get it to the point where this can actually be reviewed, right? So who needs to do it? Is that something that David needs to do as the DevOps for this project? Or because then I'll reassign that ticket.
Yeah, if it's something I need to do, I just need to know exactly what I need to do.
But the expectation, JP, because I don't understand. I thought that we need to update Stripe's reshare for this one, but you're saying that we don't. We just need to remove the permission.
This is a different one, yeah. This one, we just need to
I
remove
know
that
it's a different
permission.
one.
Yeah, this doesn't have to do with Stripe's reshare. This is completely related to that permission.
Well, I was typing this when you were talking about this ticket, right? I mean the note here for David. I mean, come on, guys. It seems like we have some major communication breakdown. So I'm talking about IOL Dev 207. That ticket was in progress and Tara is unable to review it. What needs to be done to get that ticket in a reviewable state?
Which one is IOL Dev 207? Yeah, okay,
Look at
that's the
your
one with the
screen.
permission.
And next time, Jason, please join on your laptop that with screen sharing on.
Think I need a new laptop that can hold battery for more than 30 minutes. This doesn't have any code changes. There's two issues. One of them can be handled by removing a permission. The other issue would require extensive changes to just hide one setting, and I don't think we should be doing work at that kind of granularity just for this. And so I wonder if they might find it acceptable to hide that entire setting section. And I think in general, it might be interesting to learn what it is that they actually want users, like what are they trying to achieve with giving people access to settings that they don't trust them to not do random changes and break things? Because it seems like maybe rather than settings, they actually need a kind of a very specific subset of them they can grant to a broad group of users. So maybe we need some other kind of a UI for like the two things they actually want random people to be able to change.
Well, that one is just, at least for US libraries, that one comes up all the time, like where they want to like have full transparency so they let people see everything, but they don't want them to be able to touch anything because they don't trust them. So this
Oh,
may
they
just
want read
be,
access to settings. Okay.
well, so I mean that's what happens for Folio. I can find out more. I just wanted to know, like, because I think it's totally reasonable to hide the whole section because you were saying the other way is a lot of work. I was just wondering, like, is that also going to be a permissions thing toggled on and off, or is it going to be like system-wide, no one can access it? Because there's one setting in there that they do actually need. So I could see like admin only being kind of a nice middle ground. And the read-only thing, it's like, well, make a printout, you know? Like,
Or a screenshot, yeah.
yeah, any of those things.
So the way we were doing this was we had hidden settings that we called feature flags, and we were setting them broadly for the SLNP deployment. And those hidden settings were to toggle and hide setting sections. So it sounds like that wouldn't work for here because, yeah, that would even hide it from the admin users.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, you know, for this one, like, no is a complete sentence. I can just say, no, we're not adding the setting. You need this other thing. So, like, that's fine. So then I think the only thing outstanding is the best way to get that UI create request permission unassigned from whatever permission sets it's assigned to so that I can see it in SLNP to make sure it doesn't break anything else, which might be paranoid, but that's a thing that happens all the time, again, on the Folio side. So I just wanted to make sure before we told them to do it.
That seems very prudent.
And it sounds like David can do that. So this should be assigned to David, right?
And David, do you know what needs to be done?
I'm not sure exactly.
All
I
right,
just
well,
leave a comment on
Jason
the,
left a comment here.
okay.
We just concluded that the request default section, we're not going to do that. So only the first comment is relevant, or the first part of the comment is relevant. That's the
Okay.
create button can be hidden with permissions, specifically UI request create. So
Okay.
that permission needs to be, Jason, that needs to be removed from the user or whatever user permission set that is used, right?
Anyone who they don't want to see that button shouldn't have that permission.
So, David, I don't know, like, how do we, are they managing those permissions manually, or do we deliver them like a script or something? How do they populate permissions for their users?
I think they do that manually, if I'm mistaken.
I thought they
Okay,
used
so.
the. I thought that they used the default permission sets that come with reshare. And the reason I think that is because Ian made a change earlier for a different permission that was causing issues with interactions with Folio. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's what Ian did.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the goal would be to take it out of the permission sets that. And I don't know how, but somehow they arrive to them. Right?
Well, the question is whether we can remove it from the default sets without breaking that for everybody else.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they should also know how to do this, so.
Is that even possible, Jason?
I have no idea.
Those default sets, where are they defined? Are they defined in the UI module descriptors?
Yes. It seems
Okay.
like if there was a problem where ZFL needed a default permissions set that was different, could we just create one called whatever they want it to be called and has what permissions they want to have in it, and then they could assign that to folks without affecting the other institutions I'm talking about?
Right.
That seems
That's
ideal, but I don't
about
think we'd want to distribute it with everything.
it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you want to call it, but it seems like it wouldn't bother folks to add a permission set called like, reshare user restricted or whatever, or something like that.
But where would that be defined, Ian? That's my question.
UIRS, right? Wherever
But
alongside where all
well,
the where the ones they're having a problem
so
with are.
this one is UI request, I think, actually.
Okay, UI request then.
But yeah.
But in the UI module, we have like a stock set of permissions that should apply to anybody, right? We cannot do modifications per customer.
Well, isn't this is oh yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. Yeah, I
So
mean, one
actually,
thing
this
we've done for
particular
all
one
the
is a, the one that I called out is a permission set that is in UI request. So it is a separate default permission set. I'll just link
Well, it
it.
must be included in some permission set because they're seeing that button, so they clearly have that permission assigned.
Right. But what I'm saying is it is included in a permission set that only has one sub permission, which is rs patron request.item.post. The top level permission set is UI request.create. So that is something they have assigned explicitly to those users. And the answer is just to not do that.
Yes, and so my question is again, have they been instructed by us to assign it, or did they get some stock users that just had it assigned?
That sounds like they've assigned it themselves, what Jason just said. If that's the only place that that permission appears, I think that they have individual users, so they must have assigned it.
Okay, let's confirm that, guys, because I'm not sure. So, let's just put a note here for David. So, permission mentioned by Jason must be removed from best users in SRMP so the ticket can be reviewed. And additionally, we need to communicate the change to the customer. Right, so we have some documentation. I don't know if that covers user setup or how did we communicate it user setup to the customer, but that needs to be changed, right? So we need to communicate to them how to remove that permission.
Okay.
So maybe Tara, just touch base with David, because I'm not 100% sure that user aspect is kind of flaky from what I hear. So we have some stock permissions that will get installed along with the software, and maybe they just use it out of the box, or maybe they do some modifications that we have. And I don't know, David, do you recall? Have we instructed them to do some modifications with their user permissions?
No, we haven't.
Because if we do, we better document that, right? It's just so we also know for our own sake that those changes have been done.
So, on further contemplation, this is also a bug because the code is checking for the presence of the permission set. So theoretically, if someone's creating their own permission sets and not using the ones that are included, they're going to run into issues with this.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
The actual code to decide whether that button shows up is keyed to the permission set UI requests create. And so if someone was to elect not to use the permission sets that are distributed with the UI modules and instead roll their own with the base permissions, that they would run into an issue with that. Or would it be expected for their permission sets to reference these permission sets rather than reference the underlying permissions directly?
Is this a permission set in the
I haven't
sense
thought
that,
about
like,
Twilio permissions in a while, so
okay,
yeah.
is it a permission set in the sense that, like, it can that there can be multiple permissions under one permission, or is it a permission set
Yes.
in the sense of, like, okay, so it's not a permission set as defined in the Reshare Users app, right? It's a permission set just because it has other permissions assigned to it or under it.
No, it's still defined, but
I think
it
it'll still
behaves
show
like
up
a
as
backup
a,
permission.
yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we can look at the, or I can look at the BSedLib environment, because they have permission sets in German, and I don't see the one that you're talking about. And the ones in our internal environment don't show up, probably because of the error that we were talking about earlier, would be my guess. Or there really are none there.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about what Jason mentions. I mean, that's a potential issue, but I think in this particular case, when whatever is used by the codes doesn't matter so much as that proper setup matters, right? So let's just make sure that if this was communicated to them, because I have hard time believing that they were explicitly instructed to add that permission set. So something has added it on their behalf. Unless you guys can find in like the previous communication with them or some documentation that we have instructed them, please add this permission set. Is that likely, Ian? I mean, that probably goes down to or goes back to how we generally do reshare deployments.
Right, so the question is who gets assigned what permission set? I mean, in the ones that we own, we have maintained for customers permission sets outside of UIRS and posted them through Ansible. I would love to have those included in UIRS, honestly, but that's what we do.
That's what we do on our own deployments, right? But this is
Correct,
a
yeah.
deployment that the customer manages, and they have that permission assigned. So
Okay.
how, like, is my question. How did we end up in the situation that they have assigned that permission? Did we tell them in an email, assign that permission? Did we give them a script? Did we put that in the documentation? I mean, we need to know this, right? And
Sure.
whichever way we've done it, that way needs to be modified now to not adopt that permission.
Yeah, I
So
mean, if Spark, okay.
maybe Tara, I don't know, would you mind figuring that out? Because I'm not sure if we ever documented that, but maybe we have.
There's let me just check the doc on this. I don't see it documented on the branch of that platform. David, I thought do we have like a doc for them to follow to deploy from? It's been a bit for me. I'll look it up and get back to you.
Yeah, I mean, the installed document is
Yeah.
basically the reference, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a plain README, it's a different markdown file. Install the MD. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, but that
Permissions.
seems to be only listing the permissions for the Ansible module. I don't see, like, the Reshare permissions being
Okay. Well,
captured here.
maybe we can update this document then. That would be the this is what we point them to on how to deploy the system, right? So it seems like if we need them to do something or not do something, we should put it in here.
Yeah. Well, eventually, if that's what they use, then let's update this document. But there must have been a way. Okay. Well, let's figure out how they have their user set up, David. Okay. So we can ask them, we can tell them what they need to change to modify that setup. All right, so I reassign that ticket to you, okay?
Yeah.
Verify that this weekend needs.
All right, yeah, let me know if I can help out if anything is stuck or whatever, or unclear with stuff I've done.
Okay. Okay, guys, do we have anything else that felt related?
Don't think so.
Okay. Just double check here. So, okay. So this should have been assigned to you, David. No. That was the one regarding permissions, and this one we have reopened and asked David to make sure that the Stripe switcher is redeployed. Okay, let's move on. There's a one new request from Mallory. She created this ticket yesterday. So Jason, I think I would like to ask you to look into it. Long story short, there seemed to be a problem with item IDs communicated to the Alma requesters. So that expression that we use to, I think, carry the item ID, the item barcode along with the call number, that is improperly parsed, or that is parsed by Alma as a multi-value, multi-item request. So maybe you could verify why is this happening? Like, what are the conditions under which this happens, and how can we control it?
Is this the one where we changed the delimiter a while ago?
No, that's 12.
And
We're talking about 12 now.
no, but like, did we changed the delimiter for ZFL, I think. Did we forward port, hopefully, the delimiter change, and did that get included in a release? I mean, maybe it's the case that that will fix this too.
Yeah, I don't know if this actually is a related to that delimiter issue.
Well, I can at least look at it and see.
Yeah. I mean, like, one thing I would ask is why is it even sending this the delimited string? Is that something that they did when they were sending the supplying the request? Like, did they specify the call number, and they should, like, under which conditions that it actually uses that expression, because it doesn't seem like it's using it for all requests.
I
I
think it's
assume.
using it for all multi-item requests, possibly, but I can investigate what's happening here.
Maybe just also test on the Melbourne and what's the other
Yeah.
one?
Sydney.
Sydney, yeah. I would be surprised if it was using it for all requests, because I would assume we would hear it about this. I mean, yeah, maybe we don't, but yeah. So Just have a look. Let's try to understand in like what are the circumstances when this gets sent like this. I left you a note here. Okay, let's move on. Kurt, do you have any updates?
Yeah, so for ILO dev 242 with the so we can inject the request into the context so that we can get at it in strict mode. I have a pull request open for that. I kind of wanted to just walk through that with Jason just to show him what I did and make sure that just get a sanity check on that before I merge it in. But otherwise I think it seems to work and I think it should be good.
Oh,
The
I'm sorry, Kurt. That was 248.
242. No, it's in
Oh,
review, right? Well,
242.
it's in code review right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's...
I haven't merged it in yet. But I want to get another set of eyes on that code. I'd like to just explain what I did, just to make sure that we're on the same page with how it's working. The stuff with the protected fields. I have a branch that's kind of got like a kind of proof of concept for it, but since we don't have a actual schema with protected stuff, I don't really want to, it didn't really make sense to merge it in because I kind of have to, because it didn't make sense to try to parse the YAML in my opinion, because it just wasn't a sane way to do that. So it really just to kind of just like maintain an internal table of what's protected and what's not, but since we don't really have a final schema, we can't really create that to know what to protect and what not to protect. So I feel like we really need to plan to nail down what the actual directory schema is going to be. And I don't know if you've seen at all any of the stuff that Alan sent over for his ideas, and how much you want to interact with that, or even see if it's worth implementing at this point. But I think we do need to tackle the whole what the schema is going to be for directory.
Well, we have the initial schema, right?
I mean, do we? I mean,
We're
what would you?
we're talking about the JSON schema, right?
Yeah, I mean, what would you say our initial schema would be? You want me to follow just what we have in the broker, or?
Well, no, I'm just saying that we have some initial document from on top of which we should apply changes, right? So I think that's where, unless I misunderstood, Kurt.
I guess I don't know what we're considering to be our schema document for the schema, or for the directory. I mean, we have like.
As the one in the directory repo diverged from the one that we have in the broker.
The one in the directory repo, there were two of them because there was the one we were using for CodeGen that only has what's implemented so far. And then
Oh
there
yeah.
was the like sort of aspirational one of kind of sketching out what we eventually want to use. And that's what was used as the basis for what was implemented in the broker. But then other things have been added since to the broker one, like the HR ID. But I think in some previous conversation, we decided we didn't need the HR ID for the actual
I
directory
think.
service. And then the directory service, for some reason, I put in like a description field that I just had. I don't know why I did that at this point,
I
but
think,
we should probably remove
yeah, I mean
it.
those let's just keep in mind that those changes that were applied in the broker, they were pretty much caused or by like whatever the customer needed. So maybe let's not use that as a basis here. Use the one that is actually used in the OAPI code gen, Kurt, because effectively this is relevant to the directory project. So I think it would be weird if we started making those changes or lay those changes upon the one in the broker. I mean, that doesn't help us a lot. So let's use the one that we are currently use for the to drive the directory code generation.
Okay.
And
But we don't really
we
have
will
any protected fields there, right?
Yeah, so you need to introduce some, right? Just to give an example of this mechanism.
So do you want me to just make a field that we're just going to throw away later, or is there an actual
Yeah,
field?
just added fields, a password, username password fields.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty much what it's got. I mean, I think I added like a field just to test it. I can.
Yeah. Actually, where does Adam expect to get the NSIP credentials?
He
Because I think
did
that would
add
be
some
very.
NSIP. He
Well,
did add
there,
an
use
NSIP
that.
section. But let's not use that because I don't want what is important here is the mechanism. And I don't want us to be spending days discussing the proper naming for those fields and sections and all that stuff. It's not relevant,
No,
right?
just use what
So
Adam
let's.
does. Because that way he can actually play with this
No,
service, right?
because that
Okay,
thing will be
that's
keep on
fine.
changing. I mean, that's yeah,
Okay, yeah.
and it's actually good that he's not he can work on ANSIP without getting dragged into those discussions about those deals because it's completely irrelevant for him. He's just going to change the implementation once we settle on the schema. And I think for what you're working on, Kurt, the mechanism here is really essential, right? Let's just settle down on the mechanism. How do we annotate those protected fields? And the business logic to handle the hiding, field hiding, right?
Okay.
So I think if you just add some dummy fields, maybe even call them dummy password, dummy user, just to not to create some expectation that this is some some settle in stone
So
fields.
we're okay just putting the dummy fields into the schema in the main branch, just okay. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's using that besides your implementation, right? I mean, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, the only schema that is currently used by the customer is the one in the broker.
Okay.
And so that shouldn't be changed. And whatever you have in the di directory is just an experimentation at that point. So I think that's fine.
Okay.
Change it, and then we'll spend some time aligning the two. Okay. But did you say that you already had some
I mean, yeah, I got kind of
branch
like a
with?
proof of concept, but I'll go ahead and just like change it so it says dummy, just so it's more obvious.
But that's what we want, right? We kind of want to look at that proof of concept, have Jason review it. Please add me to the pull request. I'll also take a look at it. I just want to make sure that we're happy with the approach, and then and we'll let's push out the discussion about the final schema.
Okay.
All right, so this is ongoing. Any other updates, Kurt?
Well, the only other ball I have in the air is still this Jasper thing where I'm still trying to figure out what's causing it to throw the exception and prod and test because I've pretty much replicated the whole situation and integration test to where I'm loading up the data and I'm running it through the Jasper in it. And I'm running the same value that we're seeing fail in production, but it seems to work fine in the integration test. So I don't know. Maybe I just need to go dig deeper into the Jasper docs and see if there's a way to unlock more debug stuff from Jasper itself. So maybe we can find more about what's going on because it's kind of like a black box to us right now. But it's just kind of frustrating.
Maybe check with Mallory about how critical that is. If we don't consider that critical anymore, maybe just so like we keep on seeing those exceptions, but do they break anything? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if people are just able to move on. I don't know if it's like intermittent, like if the same thing will cause an interception one time, then work the next time. I don't know. I guess I can ask her if people are actually having problems caused by it.
And the question is if she knows, right? Because like to me, this is important if this breaks generating emails and sending notices, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Then of course we need to fix it. So I will also, I mean, it's not great to have exceptions in the log file, but I also don't want to have you spend months fixing this if this doesn't break anything. So maybe let's verify that, okay? I'll just But did you guys get any closer to this? Like, what? She did put some pull slips here.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, I have the, I have, you know, I've loaded the JRXML she's using, you know, so I have that in the test and everything, and I found records that seem to be causing the problem, but I, when I put them together in the integration test, they work fine.
Okay, well, let's try to put this ticket in a closed state, and I'm quite happy this is just a close as a one fix. But we need to verify that this is not a critical breakage, right? Okay. There's a couple of in review ones. So you mentioned inject request. You're waiting for some feedback, and what about this auth? Auth n slash z layer in the directory service. Can we close this?
I don't know if Mallory wanted to do any more review on this or not, but you know it's merged in there.
But has this been merged?
It's merged, yeah.
Okay, then I think let's close it. We can always, if you want, we can collect some of those tickets under some sort of epic, just to have an umbrella for this, right? But I think this particular one, if it's been merged, then let's close it. Okay. Okay. Anything else we should discuss?
Nope, that's about it.
Okay. Well, we've got some issues here that Mallory created. I don't know if we. We're kind of out of time. So Jason is going to look at one that we just discussed, but then there was more, I think. I don't know if there's anything for us to go by here. Kurtz, are you able to take a look at this one? Failed to send ISO 18626 message.
Sure. I can look. what's going on with it?
Maybe just check if there's anything in the model res logs that gives any indication about what went wrong.
What is
Because
that?
obviously
Like,
this it's just some random 500 error that she encountered when she was testing.
wow. It almost looks like it.
And the but she encountered that in the prods one.
Yeah,
So I mean,
I'll take a
I'll
look and
assign
see
that
if
to you,
anything.
but yeah, but maybe also ask Ian if you need access to the logs or something. Yeah, let's see if we can get any information about what went wrong here.
Right.
Yeah, I think those are old, right? So this is pretty much when it comes to the new ones. Okay. All right, guys, anything else we should discuss today? Okay, well, if not, then I'll just mention that Jason let me know if it's okay that I create some tickets reporting the UI, some broads. Tickets, I guess maybe an epic, really, supporting the UI to the new patron request API. It would be nice if we could focus on this for the coming months. We will have this demo at some point. There's no details yet. I think Seb just mentioned to me that he's working on getting together with Stefan from the from those ge the, from the German networks to discuss that ZFL replacement project that you guys might recall we talked about. I don't know exactly where are we with the RFP for this and whatnot. But I think what we discussed with Seb was that they will want to get some more information and possibly a demo of the system, of the working system, right? And it doesn't mean that we need to have the UI ported, although if we can have some portion of it, that would be nice. If we don't have it, that's fine. We'll just illustrate using the API and the Postman script that we have put together. But I think the goal will be to try to get to the point where we have a working system that we can, illustrate some stuff with, and we can also point them at that system to experiment. And that brings me to the, I don't know, do we have still Ian on the call?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Ian, that brings me to this dev, this notion of that dev environment
Okay.
that you've been working on. So, what did you set up there? Did you set up the just like what is currently working there? I guess is my question.
Yeah, let me give you a list. Where did I put this again? Folio US not dev. So what we've got is a tenant with the directory module enabled and a broker and a mock directory. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so if we wanted to interface with those modules, do we, I mean, are we able to? Do we need some Folio components like the copy
Oh, there's a
modules?
UI, and it has, only the directory module enabled, I believe. And if you make a change to either of those back end or the front end, it should automatically update.
Okay.
I mean,
All right,
I'm gonna
so
go ahead and assume that, something about it is broken because, we haven't. It's brand new. We haven't really tried it, but it's set up to to take upgrades as we make them. So just as people start using it, I assume issues will come up. So please let me know, and we'll keep going from there.
okay. So are you able to send me some, or maybe not directly to me, but could you drop something on the Reshare Dev channel regarding
Yeah, I
like
did
how to access it?
yesterday.
Okay, perfect. Maybe
I'll
just
just
ping it or something.
remind you. Yep, here we go.
Okay,
I'll pin these. Yep.
so what I will do is I will ask Giannis to try to run the Postman script against the broker running there. So he'll probably need like the username password if there's basic authentication. He will need the endpoint,
Yep.
all
He's
that
got
stuff, right?
access to LastPass, right?
No, I don't think he
No.
has, but I can help him, right? So if it's
Okay.
all in
It's
LastPass,
all in
then
LastPass, yeah.
okay.
Here, let me just I'll just put a link to what I posted yesterday on the bottom of the channel there for you.
Yeah. And then also, Jason, when you're using it, I think this would be the environment to use.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's try to move it away from Trove Dev. Also because at some point, and that's another topic, Ian, I'll create some tickets, no worries. But another thing is to enable ANSIP against some Folio installation, but I think for that we'll probably need a more full-blown Folio deployment, right?
Yeah, we would.
Yeah. Okay. Let me think about this a little bit. I'll approach you a little bit and we can create some tickets for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean we're getting to the point where we wanna start like exercising all bits of the system. And that may need a bunch of infrastructure in place. Okay, but I think for now, if he can run that Postman script, that would be sufficient. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize you. There, I'll need that module descriptor thingy set up so that it exposes the patron request endpoint. Are you just going to do that and let Ian know, or should we create a ticket for that?
I did create a ticket for that already.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
If that's in directory, just update it and it should get deployed.
No, that's actually in the broker, but that's also installed from the chart, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Let me just confirm that it's gonna pull the latest when it comes out. So that's fine too.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's not going to happen today, Jason, right? So maybe take a look at that Trove issue first if you need this.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, you can use the basic auth, right? But you can just wait those. Okay. All right,
Sounds
thank you
good.
guys. Was there anything else? I'm sorry, did we anything else for us to talk about?
Not for me.
All right. Thanks, and talk to you Tuesday.
Right, bye, everyone.
See ya.
Bye-bye.